Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B1. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Ah, Japan, land of the rising sun, or Nippon to the locals. This stunning island nation will spirit you away to a place where modernity and history come together. A travel destination truly fit for an emperor. And for the indecisive traveler, the ones who want to see it all and do it all, Japan is paradise. Are you ready? Welcome to Japan. Let's start with the basics. Japan is 377,972 square kilometers big. That's smaller than California, but larger than Germany. And the country is made up of 6,852 islands, 66% of which are covered by trees that provide shade to the nearly 130 million people who call Japan their home. Apart from shade, the Japanese also enjoy having the highest life expectancy in the world at 83.7 years. The country boasts the second lowest homicide rate after Iceland and is listed in the Global Peace Index's top 10 safest countries to call home. It's not unusual to see bikes left unlocked and lost wallets returned. However, you should always remember to take the same precautions you would at home. And the Japanese speak, well, Japanese, of course. We suggest learning some basic phrases, since English is not widely spoken throughout the country. Of course, you can always rely on the Japanese for their exceptionally accommodating and notoriously polite demeanors to get you from point A to point B. After all, the Japanese have 3 different ways of saying, I love you, and 20 different ways of expressing that they're sorry. During your visit, you'll be paying for things in Japanese yen. Keep in mind that it's fairly uncommon to pay for things using debit or credit cards. You may also be surprised to learn that access to public Wi-Fi is rare, so remember to bring an international SIM card or rent a pocket Wi-Fi device. For travel within Japan's capital, the Tokyo Metro will be your main choice of transportation, welcoming more than 6 million passengers every day. However, Travel throughout Japan can be very expensive if you don't plan ahead. The easiest and cheapest way to get around the country is by using the Japan Rail Pass. This pass allows you unlimited access to most major railways around the country for one lump sum. And of course, you'll absolutely want to explore the country because, well, there's something for everyone.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Ah, Japan. Land of the rising sun, or Nippon, to the locals. This stunning island nation will spirit you away to a place where modernity and history come together. A travel destination truly fit for an emperor. And for the indecisive traveler, the ones who want to see it all and do it all, Japan is paradise. Are you ready? Welcome to Japan. Let's start with the basics. Japan is 377,972 square kilometers big. That's smaller than California, but larger than Germany. And the country is made up of 6,852 islands. 66% of which are covered by trees that provide shade to the nearly 130 million people who call Japan their home. Apart from shade, the Japanese also enjoy having the highest life expectancy in the world at 83.7 years. The country boasts the second lowest homicide rate after Iceland and is listed in the Global Peace Index's top 10 safest countries to call home. It's not unusual to see bikes left unlocked and lost wallets returned. However, you should always remember to take the same precautions you would at home. And the Japanese speak, well, Japanese, of course. We suggest learning some basic phrases, since English is not widely spoken throughout the country. Of course, you can always rely on the Japanese for their exceptionally accommodating and notoriously polite demeanors to get you from point A to point B. After all, the Japanese have 3 different ways of saying, I love you, and 20 different ways of expressing that they're sorry. During your visit, you'll be paying for things in Japanese yen. Keep in mind that it's fairly uncommon to pay for things using debit or credit cards. You may also be surprised to learn that access to public Wi-Fi is rare, so remember to bring an international SIM card or rent a pocket Wi-Fi device. For travel within Japan's capital, the Tokyo Metro will be your main choice of transportation, welcoming more than 6 million passengers every day. However, travel throughout Japan can be very expensive if you don't plan ahead. The easiest and cheapest way to get around the country is by using the Japan Rail Pass. This pass allows you unlimited access to most major railways around the country for one lump sum. And of course, you'll absolutely want to explore the country because, well, there's something for everyone.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Ah, Japan. Land of the rising sun, or Nippon to the locals. This stunning island nation will spirit you away to a place where modernity and history come together. A travel destination truly fit for an emperor. And for the indecisive traveler, the ones who want to see it all and do it all, Japan is paradise. Are you ready? Welcome to Japan. Let's start with the basics. Japan is 377,972 square kilometers big. That's smaller than California, but larger than Germany. And the country is made up of 6,852 islands, 66% of which are covered by trees that provide shade to the nearly 130 million people who call Japan their home. Apart from shade, the Japanese also enjoy having the highest life expectancy in the world at 83.7 years. The country boasts the second lowest homicide rate after Iceland and is listed in the Global Peace Index's top 10 safest countries to call home. It's not unusual to see bikes left unlocked and lost wallets returned. However, you should always remember to take the same precautions you would at home. And the Japanese speak, well, Japanese, of course. We suggest learning some basic phrases, since English is not widely spoken throughout the country. Of course, you can always rely on the Japanese for their exceptionally accommodating and notoriously polite demeanors to get you from point A to point B. After all, the Japanese have 3 different ways of saying, I love you, and 20 different ways of expressing that they're sorry. During your visit, you'll be paying for things in Japanese yen. Keep in mind that it's fairly uncommon to pay for things using debit or credit cards. You may also be surprised to learn that access to public Wi-Fi is rare, so remember to bring an international SIM card or rent a pocket Wi-Fi device. For travel within Japan's capital, the Tokyo Metro will be your main choice of transportation, welcoming more than 6 million passengers every day. However, travel throughout Japan can be very expensive if you don't plan ahead. The easiest and cheapest way to get around the country is by using the Japan Rail Pass. This pass allows you unlimited access to most major railways around the country for one lump sum. And of course, you'll absolutely want to explore the country because, well, there's something for everyone.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
All schools should be art schools because everything is made, everything has been constructed by somebody who's thought about it. And it started with an idea about a drawing. Everything is being made. You know, the building that we're sitting in, the camera that's filming this interview, the lunatic who designed this jacket, the clever person who designed my hat. All that has been designed by somebody, and that conversation has started with a pencil and paper, and that conversation starts in school, and it starts when you're four. If you give kids a pencil and paper, you're really teaching them how to sing. Quite literally, if you teach kids music, you are developing their voice. And that's the whole point about the arts, is that they are about selfhood. And they actually make us powerful. If you develop your voice, you learn to draw, learn to make things, feel that you can construct the future, that you have a hand in the world, and that you could contribute to that world, that makes you powerful. The arts are vital because they're about, fundamentally, because they're about human expression, self-expression. What we desperately need to do in this country, and there's a whole generation of educators and teachers out there waiting to go, and they're being completely thwarted by educational policy, is to teach art and visuality in the same breath as engineering and maths and science, and teach computer coding at the same time as you teach somebody drawing. We need more kids who are visually literate, digitally literate, and who can combine those two skills, and it will make them really powerful, and it will make some of them very wealthy. Teaching art in schools is a route to success. Designing games and software is all about manipulating something in space. When you teach coding, it's like teaching coordinates, essentially. You need to be able to understand how you can move things, how you can express digital concepts in space. If you don't teach kids drawing, they are disabled at learning coding. If you teach those things together, that is fantastic. And there's a whole gang of people out there waiting to do that. And we're stopping them. We're stopping them because we think art is a nice to have, a luxury for a few people, and we think the maths and science are really important. They are all really important, and they interlink and talk to each other. That's why we should teach STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, and not just STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths. We must put the arts in there. As somebody involved in the arts, I think we need to get in front of policymakers and politicians and just tell them how it is and what we want.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
All schools should be art schools because everything is made, everything has been constructed by somebody who's thought about it, and it started with an idea about a drawing. Everything is being made. You know, the building that we're sitting in, the camera that's filming this interview, the lunatic who designed this jacket, the clever person who designed my hat. All that has been designed by somebody, and that conversation has started with a pencil and paper, and that conversation starts in school, and it starts when you're four. If you give kids a pencil and paper, you're really teaching them how to sing, quite literally, if you teach kids music, you are developing their voice. And that's the whole point about the arts, is that they are about selfhood. And they actually make us powerful. If you develop your voice, you learn to draw, learn to make things, feel that you can construct the future, that you have a hand in the world, and that you could contribute to that world, that makes you powerful. The arts are vital because they're about, fundamentally, because they're about human expression, self-expression. What we desperately need to do in this country, and there's a whole generation of educators and teachers out there waiting to go, and they're being completely thwarted by educational policy, is to teach art and visuality in the same breath as engineering and maths and science, and teach computer coding at the same time as you teach somebody drawing. We need more kids who are visually literate, digitally literate, and who can combine those two skills, and it will make them really powerful, and it will make some of them very wealthy. Teaching art in schools is a route to success. Designing games and software is all about manipulating something in space. When you teach coding, it's like teaching coordinates, essentially. You need to be able to understand how you can move things, how you can express digital concepts in space. If you don't teach kids drawing, they are disabled at learning coding. If you teach those things together, that is fantastic. And there's a whole gang of people out there waiting to do that. And we're stopping them. We're stopping them because we think art is a nice to have, a luxury for a few people. And we think the maths and science are really important. They are all really important, and they interlink and talk to each other. That's why we should teach STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, and not just STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths. We must put the arts in there. As somebody involved in the arts, I think we need to get in front of policymakers and politicians and just tell them how it is and what we want.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
All schools should be art schools because everything is made, everything has been constructed by somebody who's thought about it, and it started with an idea about a drawing. Everything has been made. You know, the building that we're sitting in, the camera that's filming this interview, the lunatic who designed this jacket, the clever person who designed my hat. All that has been designed by somebody, and that conversation has started with a pencil and paper, and that conversation starts in school, and it starts when you're four. If you give kids a pencil and paper, you're really teaching them how to sing. Quite literally, if you teach kids music, you are developing their voice. And that's the whole point about the arts, is that they are about selfhood, and they actually make us powerful. If you develop your voice, you learn to draw, learn to make things, feel that you can construct the future, that you have a hand in the world, and that you could contribute to that world, that makes you powerful. The arts are vital because they're about, fundamentally, because they're about human expression, self-expression. what we desperately need to do in this country, and there's a whole generation of educators and teachers out there waiting to go, and they're being completely thwarted by educational policy, is to teach art and visuality in the same breath as engineering and maths and science, and teach computer coding at the same time as you teach somebody drawing. We need more kids who are visually literate, digitally literate, and who can combine those two skills, and it will make them really powerful, and it will make some of them very wealthy. Teaching art in schools is a route to success. Designing games and software is all about manipulating something in space. When you teach coding, it's like teaching coordinates, essentially. You need to be able to understand how you can move things, how you can express digital concepts in space. If you don't teach kids drawing, they are disabled at learning coding. If you teach those things together, that is fantastic. And there's a whole gang of people out there waiting to do that. And we're stopping them. We're stopping them because we think art is a nice to have, a luxury for a few people, and we think the maths and science are really important. They are all really important, and they interlink and talk to each other. That's why we should teach STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, and not just STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths. We must put the arts in there. As somebody involved in the arts, I think we need to get in front of policymakers and politicians and just tell them how it is and what we want.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.